Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, Radio Land. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for joining the City with the Walls Ministries on tonight's radio broadcast, where our leader, our angel of our house, is no other than the wonderful, the blessed, the anointed, the appointed prophetess, Latasha Easterling. We thank God for her. We also thank God for her covering Brother Anthony Easterling. We thank God for both of them and for allowing us to be on the radio broadcast on this evening. We also thank God for Apostle Randy Dixon and his beautiful wife for giving us the opportunity to be able to breathe on the radio airways with you guys on tonight. God bless you. We love you. We love you. And if you just listen to that song, I thank God for the ministry of Kirk Franklin, because people are too concerned of what his beats sound like, but they don't listen to the words that that man of God speaks. And despite your road, despite the challenges, despite the things that you might be going through, thank you, Jesus. It's always, if you got God in your life and he's first in your life and he's priority in your life and you submit into his will, despite those storms and dark, dark paths, I guarantee you will always come out on top. So just like the song said, pack light, pack light. Don't carry the burdens and the stresses of life. Pack light, trust God. Give all your burdens unto him so your yoke can be easy and things that you go through will be so much better if you just give it to God and travel light and don't let the little things in life stress you out and bring you down and tear you apart. You know, as you look on the news, thank you, Jesus. You know, it's so many things that are happening right now in our own backyards and even internationally. We've had brothers and sisters that were innocently murdered in Kenya and Paris, France. And we just take the time just to ask God to be with those families on tonight, just to give them encouragement, to heal their broken hearts, Father God, and to piece together back their lives that someone took upon themselves to go in and just wreck and destroy all those innocent people's lives, men, women, and children alike. And Father God, we just ask that you just send your comforter down to all those families, Father God. We know your word says these things are going to happen in the end times, Father God, so it's important for your children to be obedient to be seers and to be cognizant of what's going on, Father God, and to be listening for your voice, Father God, because there's so much going on, Father God. And Father God, we just ask that you just keep us, Father God, and that you keep our minds and you keep our families, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, and we thank you, Lord. At this time, let's just see if Mother Blackwell is on the line to do a quick prayer. Hallelujah. Mother Blackwell, are you on the line with us? Okay, amen. She may be having some technical difficulties. But anyway, I'm going to do a quick prayer. Then after that, we're going to have one more selection before I go into the word on tonight that God has given me to speak to you guys on this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humbly as you know how, Father God. Give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, Father God, just to exalt your name on this evening, Father God. Father God, just to thank you, Father God. Just to thank you, Father God, not just to ask for anything, Father God, just to say thank you, God, to bless your name, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's so many things, Father God, that are going on in this dark, dark world, Father God. But, Father God, we ask that you just be with us as we go through our trials and tribulations, Father God, that you just allow us to cling to you, Father God, in these last and final hours, Father God, and that you open our eyes, Father God, from being blinded eyes, that you uncover our ears, Father God, from being deaf ears, Father God, and that you just guide our hearts, Father God, and don't let it shut itself off from you, Father God. Father God, we ask that you just be that Father that for those who are fatherless, Father God, that mother for those who are motherless, Father God, that friend for those who are friendless, Father God, that lover for those who are loverless, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, we come to you this hour asking for your blessing and your help as we gather together on this radio broadcast, Father God. We pray for guidance in the matters at hand and ask that you would clearly show us how to conduct our work, Father God, with the spirit of joy and humility, Father God. Father God, we ask that you give us the desire to find ways to excel in our work, Father God. We ask that you help us to work together, Father God, and to encourage each other to excel and to be excellent, Father God. Father God, we ask that you would challenge us, each and every one of us, to reach higher and higher and higher and higher and higher in you, Father God, to be the best that we can be, Father God. Father God, we ask that you just continue give us that God and light, Father God. Let us be a light unto this dark world, Father God. Whether it's on our jobs, Father God, just as we go through our families, Father God, even in the church, Father God, anywhere that we may go where people don't see you, Father God, ask that they may be able to see you in us, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, we can't do this thing without you, God. We cannot do this thing without you, God. We need you right now in this hour, Father God. There's so many things going on in this world, Father God. There's so many lost souls. There's so many lost souls, Father God. There's so many lost souls. So many people crying out, Father God. So many people that was hurt and broken in the church, Father God. Father God, we ask that you just be with them right now In the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, speak like you have never spoken before, Father God, and let them be able to hear, Father God. Let them be able to see, Father God. Let them feel your touch right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, any sickness that they may be dealing with, Father God, we ask that you just touch them and heal them. Right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, any financial issues that they're having, Father God, we ask that you be that banker, Father God. Right now in the mighty name of Jesus, any legal issues that they may be having right now, Father God, we ask that you just be that lawyer and the judge and handle it right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Any type of bondage situations, Father God, they're trying to break free, Father God. They're trying to break free, but they just don't know how, Father God. We just ask that you just come in and cut it from the root, Father God, and free them. Let them be free through liberty, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Because we know when you died on that cross, Father God, you died for all of our sins, for all our transgressions, for all of our mess, Father God. And we just ask that you just continue to just be with them, Father God, right now in this hour, Father God, and anybody that may be listening to this broadcast on this evening, Father God, and they are in need, Father God, we ask that you touch that need right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Cancel the assignment that was sent from the enemy. Cancel its assignment and send it back down to the pits of hell, 185,000 miles per second, Father God, with the blood of Jesus all over it, to never return, to never return. And Father God, just to come before you and stand in the midst of some, just to repent, Father God. Let's just say that we're sorry, Father God. And Lord, as we repent, that we don't go back to that thing that we ask you for repentance for. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, whether it's dealing with pornography, Father God, whether it's dealing with smoking that blunt, Father God, whether it's dealing with alcoholism, Father God, whether it's dealing with a lying tongue, Father God, whether it's dealing with a spirit of jealousy, Father God, whether it's dealing with a spirit of envy, Father God, whether it's dealing with the spirit of knowledge, Father God, a knowledge that is not of you, Father God, that's come to confuse the masses, Father God, to confuse and deter the masses from the word of God, the true word of God, Father God. We ask that you speak to that spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus, because there's going to be so many unsound doctrines, Father God, that's in this now time, Father God, and we rebuke it right now in the mighty name of Jesus and cut it off at the root, Jesus, and let the only word of God be the word that's only spoken by you, that their hearts will hear, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, we also come and pray for our leaders, Father God, the leaders of the churches, Father God, that you touch them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, Father God, and you continue, Father God, to let them walk in spirit and in truth, Father God, and not of flesh, Father God, and not for financial gain, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, because you are going to expose the very ones that are misusing your sheep and abusing your sheep in the name of Jesus, Father God. And I just ask that you have mercy on their souls. All these things we ask, pray, and thank in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And almost forgot, not to be obedient, the mission for the City Without Walls Ministries is to go beyond the four walls of a specific building to reach souls and to bring forth the gospel and the light to a dying world. Amen. Amen. And at this time, we're going to have another song by another familiar artist, Kim Burrell, Thank You, Jesus. Amen, amen. We might just need a little bit more time. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. What we're going to do at this time while we're waiting for the song to continue to load, amen, amen, I just want to go over the synopsis of what we're going to be talking about on this evening. So right now I want to talk about a changed temple, give you the synopsis right before the song comes on to tell you a little bit what we're going to be discussing in this radio broadcast on tonight. So a changed temple. So you may ask yourself, okay, Leonard, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean, Minister Leonard? What's a changed temple? Okay, so once you go through the transition from giving up the fleshly man and giving into your spirit man, which is through Christ Jesus, once you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, there are some things, there are a set of instructions that you have to do, things that you have to do to be able to maintain that changed temple. I want you to think about, you know, when you're trying to lose weight, and I'm guilty too, you know, I didn't know how to push the plate weight sometimes, but I thank God But, you know, we tell ourselves, you know, January's coming around, so everybody's getting ready for their New Year's resolution, and there's the main thing everybody say, oh, I'm going to lose 5, 10 pounds or 20 pounds, 30 pounds. I want to get my body in shape for the summer. But there's a couple things you have to do. Well, first, you got to write the vision, make it plain. So you spoke it. You got a plan set. You have a goal, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to attain that goal. Well, some people do it the easy way, plastic surgery, gastric bypasses, these special pills, or they go to some witch doctor trying to lose all this weight. But the easy way is not always the best way. Reason being, because if you go the easy way, the quick fix, you won't appreciate the process. You won't appreciate the process. Lenard, what do you mean by that? Great question. So glad you asked. So if you do the plastic surgery, you get the gastric bypass, you take the pills, you won't appreciate the hard work that should have been put into it to get that same result. And with doing those quick fixes, it doesn't always mean that result's going to stay. Because some of us get complacent when things are done for us or when it's easy for us. We don't necessarily always appreciate the result. We like the result, but we don't necessarily appreciate the result. So meaning, okay, I went through this whole ordeal under the knife, as most people say when it pertains to surgery for cosmetic reasons, and you see yourself in the mirror and you like it. And you like it. You know, you might become, you know, infatuated with yourself. People are like, oh, it's the new me, I look beautiful, and you don't appreciate it. But we're going to get back into that after this song plays. So the song that you're going to hear right now is by no other than Kim Burrell. I love that woman of God. But I want you to listen to the song, and then we're going to get back into the word right after the song. Amen.
What the Lord has done for me.
We'll be on this broadcast for the next 2-3 weeks if I tell you how much God has done for me in my life. Amen. Right back to the word. Hallelujah. First of all, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we ask that you decrease me, Father God, and that you increase me, Father God. Let me only speak the words that only directed by the Holy Spirit, Father God, to preach a message unto your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, What? Knew ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So saying, this temple, this body of ours, does not belong to us. So things that we do to it, the additives that we do to it, is not necessarily warranted by God, because if God wanted you to be a certain way or to have a certain look, he would have created you that way. People attempt to make corrections to God's creations because it's not perfect in their eyes. If you keep in mind, Book of Genesis says that we were created in his image, not our image, but in his image. So when you are making certain little additions to your body, you're telling God, God, I'm not happy with what you did. You know, I'm not thankful for how you made me. I'm not thankful for how I look, how tall I am, how short I am, how big I am, how small I am, the size of certain extremities. I'm not happy with it. So I'm going to make a correction to your perfection because I'm not happy with it. So going back to the analogy with the weight loss and trying to make this image that's appealing to ourselves and to the world, you know, sometimes I look at these shows with the supermodels, and this is what, you know, this is what they portray as beauty, and they have little competitions that, or if you look like this, this is the epitome of beauty, and these people are size -0, you look like they haven't eaten in years, but this is what the world says, beautiful. So we tell God, God, this is what we consider beautiful, not what you consider beautiful. This is what we consider to be perfection. But nowhere in the word of God says that is so. So can God dwell in an unclean vessel? Some people might say yes. Some people might say no. Answer is no, because God cannot dwell in sin. So, but he can if you become a believer and repent, defer from sin, and walk in righteousness, walk in his will. Because if not, that temple will eventually become destroyed. What causes the block from a complete change in God? That's a great question. So some of us that get saved and we, you know, we give our life to Christ and, you know, we come from a mighty long way and we dealt with some things in life. But we have this feeling of can't do everything like the Word want me to do because I still enjoy certain pleasures of alcohol. I still enjoy certain pleasures of hitting the blunt every now and then. I still enjoy twerking down at the club, just being real. So God's trying to work in us, but because we continually have these blockades in life preventing us from achieving true change, so our temple is still conflicted and confused, like, okay, spirit man's like, okay, well, you just gave your life to Christ and you wanted to do a new thing, and, you know, I'm trying to get there, but every time I try to get to the next level, your flesh decides to do this. So things that cause this is denial. We deny God to fully conform us to his will and his way. So that's the ability to habitually continue the ways of old to satisfy the falsehood of our very existence, bearing the wrong fruit, strange fruit, but not bearing the right fruit. So with that being said, we have to understand what we have to do as individuals on our daily walk with Christ. What type of fruit are you producing? But we ain't going to go into that on this evening. We're going to just talk about the instructions to a changed temple. So the first thing that you have to do is recognize. Recognize that you're dealing with a spiritual battle, not physical, and that the battle does not belong to you. It belongs to God. So people think that once you get saved and once you become one of the kingdom kids, children of God, that all of a sudden you're going to see the demons and the spirits and you're going to be going toe-to-toe boxing them and doing all this. You're not going to be doing that. Everything that you're going to be dealing with is going to be through the spirit realm. Now, sometimes things in the spirit realm can come into fruition through the natural, but the primary forces that you're going to be fighting against, especially once you say yes to God and attempt to commit yourself to him and his ways. So the enemy goes from pre-save, y'all best friends, you know, you got all these spirits and demons, Satan's like, oh, I got this one, I got this one, I got another one, God, you're not getting this one. You see the light, you give your life to Christ and you submit to God. Now he's like, wait a minute. We was just homies last week and now you don't talk to me no more. So now he's gonna send his little buddies, his little minions, to combat you and to draw you back into the darkness. So you're not, so sometimes those the things of the spirit can come into the natural by friends, familiar spirits, familiar places, familiar things, in your windows on the television, things on Facebook, social media, conversations, things in on the internet. So the enemy will start throwing things of remembrance to you to try to draw you and tempt you back into the ways of old so that you can, you know, be homies with him again. But you're praying like you're supposed to, fasting, seeking God, standing in the Word, being around God-fearing people. You will be amazed of how the temptations will be easier and easier to fight off if you're able to do that. Step number two, Declare. Declare that you are imperfect and you need Jesus to clean you out. You need a support system. So 1 John 1, 5 through 9. Let me get to my text and I'll read that for you. Amen. All right. And the Word of God says, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the word tells you right there, the only way to get clean is through Christ Jesus, the blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, that was a cleansing, a renewing for humanity, for each and every person to obtain salvation. Not just one group of people, but all people. Once Jesus came down and died, that was the beginning, the forefront of salvation for each and every person that resided in this world at that time. So even when Jesus went to Galilee, and there were different, you know, races, classes of people. You know, you had the Gentiles, you had the Hebrews, and the Egyptians. And God, you know, at first time, the children of Israel were the original ones that had the covenant with God in order to obtain salvation. They were the chosen people. But when Jesus came down, he sort of flipped the script. He's like, you know what, Father? I want to give everybody the opportunity to get it right. I want to give everybody the opportunity to have salvation and to live in me and through me and to enjoy eternal life. So when Jesus was brutally beaten, tortured, spat upon, disrespected, called many names, he did that for each and every person on this world. So salvation is not only for a select few, it's for everybody. So for anybody on this line thinks that you may not be able to obtain salvation, or you may be not be able to get into the kingdom of heaven because of your past, because of who you are, what you did, I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is calling out to you. He's outstanding his arm, reaching out his hand, telling you to come into the family. All you got to do is just trust and believe and accept him. Say the sinner's prayer, give your life to Christ, and watch your life be totally transformed, totally transformed. So that's what the word says. Step number three, understand. Understand, journey to bodily wholeness begins. It's a process to be completed in God and understand the promises of God. So going back to our analogy about the weight loss, the understanding of it all. It's a process. People nowadays want everything like a conventional microwave oven. They want it quick, fast, and in a hurry. Well, I'm here to tell you, things are not always going to happen quick, fast, and in a hurry for certain reasons. God puts us through tests and trials for a reason. Because if he give us everything instantaneously, and we didn't have a struggle, we didn't have a story, we didn't have any trials, we just said, God, I need this, boom, then we would not appreciate the things that come out of that at the end. Just like if Jesus would have said, okay, God, I don't want to be tortured. I don't want to be humiliated. I don't want to be beat upon. I don't want to carry nobody's cross. I don't want to suffer on the cross. I just want to be in and out, just like that. People did not would appreciate the sacrifice that Jesus made. Because it was like, okay, but he did that in 2.5 seconds. So it's very important that you understand that it's a process and that you have to go through some things in order to appreciate the fruit at the end of that trial or storm or test. So the Word of God says, 1 Thessalonians 5, and let me get there with you, and then we're going to read 16, let's see where we're going to stop at, 16 through 23. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecies, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, it gave you some things to do. It says, rejoice. Know this is a good thing. Know that whatever you're going through, there will always be joy in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy always comes in the morning. Sometimes, I don't know if you realize, sometimes you'd be going through something, and then all of a sudden, you don't realize when did I come out of that, and you're just filled with joy and relief and thanking God because there's a reason for it. Pray without ceasing. You have not because you ask not. You cannot find it because you didn't seek it. And the reason the door is not opening because you're not knocking at the door. So when we go to prayer, when we have our intimate conversations with God and we're asking God to do some things in our lives and to guide us and to open some doors for individuals or for ourselves personally, we have to have that conversation with God on a daily basis. It's not, nothing's just going to happen just to happen, like, okay, I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to read the Word, I'm not going to seek God, I'm not going to fast, I just know it got to happen. No. You have to have that conversation. You have to have an open dialogue. So just like you're at work and you're wanting a promotion and you're thinking, well, just my actions is going to get me there. No, you got to be vocal about what you want. Hey, Mr. or Mrs. Bossman, I come to work every day. I do my job. My numbers are good. When is the next promotion? What do I need to do in order to move up? Because a closed mouth don't get fed. So you have to be vocal. You have to talk to God just like you talking to your family, your friends. You know, be real with God because God will be real with you. So having an open dialogue with God to get that understanding, reading the Word, even when you don't understand something and you say, okay, Lord, I don't understand. I'm confused. I need your guidance. Open up your Word. There's been many a times where I've been confused about something. I didn't have understanding, and I just had my Bible in my hand, praying to God, and all of a sudden I'm turning through scriptures, and all of a sudden the scriptures just start jumping out to me. The very thing I was asking God for or about, he was revealing through me through the text, through the Word. And we were having a conversation as I kept praying. I kept getting scriptures that I needed that I was asking God for. So you have to put some work in. So let's go back to the weight loss and the surgeries. So people think, well, if I get this plastic surgery and get all the fat sucked out, or I get this gastric bypass, but I can still eat whatever I want to and not exercise, or if I take this pill, you know, I'm just going to wake up one morning and be skinny. I hate to tell you, folks, it does not happen like that. There's a process. It's work that you have to do. So if you want to do the quick fix and think that that's going to be beneficial for your life, I can guarantee you, you're going to have complications. In order to lose weight efficiently, you have to have some lifestyle changes. Okay, Leonard, where are you going with this? I'm going to tell you in a second. Lifestyle changes. So you can't be eating a Patti LaBelle sweet potato pie every day, a whole pie by yourself. You can't be going to KFC and getting the 20 piece for yourself. You can't be drinking a 2 liter of Diet Coke thinking that because it has the word diet in front of it, that it's good for you. I'm here to tell you it's not. You can't go and think that, oh, well, I didn't eat all the Little Debbie's cakes. I went to an off-brand. So, no, folks, I'm here to tell you, you have to do some lifestyle changes. Or, you know, I live in a community where it's a gym open 24 hours a day, and all I got to do is just walk a couple of hours a day, but I'll sit in front of the TV and watch it for 6 hours and figure out, oh, Lord, I'm so big, I'm so tired, I'm so fat, I'm tired of being this way. Well, you have to get up and do something. It's just you're not going to change overnight without doing the work. Folks, you have to do the work. Same thing with your relationship with God. You have to put some work in. Nothing's going to be given to you. Nothing's going to be done for you just because. You have to put in some work. You have to prove to God that you're worthy to be his child. And not just, well, God, I gave my life. I got baptized, so I want to be rich, and I don't want to be stressed, and I want to have this big old house, and I want to have this big old car. Where if you haven't done any work to prove yourself, or you haven't shown yourself faithful over the things that God has already given you, why do you think he's going to give you a big house or a nice fancy car or add a couple extra zeros to your salary? And that's what a lot of us get it wrong, get it twisted. I'm a witness of it. And I thank God that he's blessed me to be able to have nice things. And I thank God and I give God the credit for everything that I have, my job, promotion at my job, the salary at my job, the cars that I drive, and the place I live. It's not because of me. It's all because of God. Sometimes when people, God do test you with certain things, they'll be like, okay, I'm going to give this sister this, and I'm going to give this brother this, and I'm going to see who acts right. So brother gets that new car and that increase in his pay at work, and he totally forget about God. But he was the same one that was on his knees every night prior to the blessing. Oh, Lord, if you just do this for me, God, I'll trust, I'll believe it. I'll do this for you. I'll pray more. I'll go to church more. I'll do this, Lord, if you just do this for me. So, God, okay. The woman, same prayer. She going in, but she's trusting God totally, seeking God totally. Lord, however you bless me, I'll thank you. However you use me, I'll thank you. Whatever tests and trials that may come my way, Father God, I thank you in the midst of it, Father God, because I know my storm can be so much worse. I can be in a much worse situation than what I am right now. I know it's people looking at me wishing that they were in my shoes, Father God, but Lord, I thank you for the now, and I'm praising you for the future. So she gets her, God blesses her, increasing her paycheck, new car, new house, and she's giving her 10% based off her new salary and thanking God and blessing God for the new place, blessing God for the new car, and she's doing more. She's picking up church members and people, bringing them to church in her new car. But brother, on the other hand, he's brand new. He don't want certain people in his car, certain people in his house. He still paying his tithes off and on, if at all. And so brother loses his stuff, and now he mad at God. Oh, Lord, why are you doing me like this? Why you treat me like this? Is that you punishing me? And the woman of God, God's blessing her with more because she was faithful. She's putting in the work. So that's just a little short analogy to give you an understanding that even when God does something for you, you still have to put in work. You just don't stop because you have what you want now. You still have to put in the work. You still have to be faithful to God because he was faithful to you. Point number four, watch out for distractions that will get you off track. Pray daily, asking God to help you stay focused and on track. So as I was saying before, once you're trying to get your life right, I'm telling you, Those temptations will come. Those distractions will come. They will come to push you off course. Say, hey, if you just do it this one time, or just do it a little, or just sip a little, or just drink a little, or just come out for about 30 minutes and you know you can do whatever, or hey, come meet us at this spot, or just watch, if you just watch a little bit of it, you'll be okay, or if you just turn this channel real quick, you'll be all right. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, sometimes the heart is willing and the flesh is weak. So you have to make sure that you're in a place in God that even though things may attempt to entertain your flesh, you got to be, you got to have on that full armor, God. Sometimes you got to have on three or four armors, because the enemy try to hit you with a little something, then he can't get you. Then he'll come back with some buddies, try to hit you with a little something, can't get you. Then he'll start going for your loved ones, your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, people at your job, people at your church, and try to cause distractions and try to throw you off so bad, and then try to put little things in your ear, try to give you some corrupt doctrine and things just to put you in such a state of mind that you fall off track. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we have to not give up and not let our hearts be faint and give in to temptations, because the very second that we do, we can destroy the changed temple that God has worked so hard on. So we have to be in a place in God that even when temptation comes, just like Satan tempted Jesus. In the book of Matthew, talks about how Satan was telling him how he would make him give him dominion over everything, how, you know, the angels will catch him if he decided to jump off of a high building. You know, the enemy will use the word of God in order to throw you off your A game, because Satan knows the word. He knows God. He was his chief musician. He was second in command. So Satan knows how to manipulate, how to cause division and confusion, and to send out the devourer. He knows how to do all these things. He knows the word of God, and he knows how to twist it up just to lure you in. So that's, you really have to have that active and be proactive in your relationship and your obedience to God, because the enemy knows God just like we know God. And he knows God a little bit better than we do, because we're still trying to get to that place. So, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you this evening that you have to be in that place in order to maintain the sanctification of your temple, and to ensure that the enemy is not able to corrupt you and bring you back to that place. So, Philippians 4 and 6 says, to give text to what I just said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So, we can't do it without God. We have to have him on our side, because we will become so susceptible to the things of the world, even to ourselves. Sometimes our own selves get us in trouble. And the enemy just sitting back there laughing like, God, look at this one. I'm not even doing nothing, and this fool messing himself up, messing herself up. So sometimes you got to look in the mirror and rebuke yourself, put yourself under subjection, say, hey, self, you need to get it together. I don't know what your problem is, what your malfunction is, but you need to get it together. And I've been there. I had to tell myself, Lenard, all right, now you know better. You better get it right. Get it together. Shake it off. And you, at that point, if you have to get yourself in that place, you know, seek counsel, seek wise counsel. Talk to your pastor. And if you're not in a church home, you know, find somebody. If you got a mother, I tell you, most mothers, they pray hard. Most grandmothers pray hard. Talk to them. Talk to a friend at work that you see always praying and giving scriptures. Find somebody, and God will lead you to that person. If you're truly, if you're earnestly trying to do right and you're trying to get right with God, he will put people in your path that you didn't even expect, give you a word or to guide you. Because sometimes we don't allow ourselves or trust ourselves enough or trust God enough in order to, you know, get to that place. So sometimes you have to do some self correcting before you can really do anything else. And it's very, very important. You have to make sure that you are covered by the full armor of God. And let's talk about the full armor of God. Let me just read the scripture so for those who don't know what that is, they know where to find it, and they can touch back on it on their personal time. So in Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18, Word of God says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girth about with truth, meaning that lying tongue got to stop. Stop thinking that if you tell somebody a little white lie, you're trying to hide something. Don't think that it will not be revealed to light. God will expose you. And so if you ain't trying to get exposed, because sometimes God will expose you publicly and you be embarrassed, or he's going to expose you in a way that you're going to be conflicted within yourself. So in all that you do, be honest, be truthful. And you can't lie to God. I don't know why people try to lie to God, just like the story of Elijah and Sapphira's, where they wasn't honest about the land that was sold and the amount that they received, and they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they died for it. Their very lives was at stake because of the lie, because they was not honest about the very thing that they were asked to do. So I'm telling y'all, it's not good to play with God. Don't lie. Be honest. Tell the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. So walk in truth. Once you walk in truth and you walk in righteousness, you know, it's going to be a lot of things that you're going to see, especially like your workplace, at church, family. Certain things are going to start being revealed to you, and you're going to have a better understanding because of your walk. People know you by your walk. Even if you think you can hide behind some makeup or a nice suit or a title, people will know you for your walk. They can see it. How bright is your light? Do people see a dim light and they really have to squint to see, is that Christ in there? I can't really tell. Or are they covering their eyes like, oh, Jesus, that person got so much God in them, it's out of control. So challenge yourself. How bright is your light? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So you have to know the word. Keep in mind, I was telling you that the enemy knows word too. So don't put yourself in a position where God has put you in a place to be able to minister to somebody and you do not know the word. You just sitting there speaking off the top of your head, giving personal opinions, and it has nothing to do with the word of God. Get in your word. Start learning a couple of scriptures. Google works. If you don't trying to find out a topic, use Google. If you ain't reading your word like you're supposed to, and get in line with the word. Start knowing the word for yourself. Have it embedded in your heart, so when situations arise, you're able to counteract the situation or the enemy with the word of God. You have to have that word. I cannot stress it enough. You have to have the word of God embedded in you, so you'll always be prepared, or your foundation is going to be weak. If no word, and you notice how they said, Ephesians said that your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. So the feet is your foundation. That's what holds you up. And without the proper foundation, you will fall. You will crumble. Regardless, you can have everything else, but if your foundation off whack and a little shoddy, it's not going to work, so everything else is going to be in vain. Well, my intentions are good, but your intentions are not backed with the word. The word doesn't reside in you. You're not consuming the word on a daily basis. You're not, you know, getting to know God more through his word because you're not making time for it. So it's very important. You have to have that proper foundation in order to defeat the wiles of the devil. And above all, taking the shield of faith. I'm going to stop right there. So the shield of faith. Some of us proclaim, oh, I'm saved. I thank God. And he is the center of my life. But as soon as you get hit with something, oh, Lord, I'm so disappointed. Oh, Lord, God. Sometimes they don't even say God. They're cursing God. They're mad at God. And their feelings about God because something happened. Keep in mind, each and every one of us are responsible for our individual lives. You can't go to heaven for your brother. You can't go to heaven for your sister, for your spouse, for your pastor. Pastor can't go to heaven for you. You are responsible for your individual life. So with that being said, just to clarify something really quick. So if something happens to someone you love or know, and you're like, Lord, why did this happen to a good person? God does things in his own time and in his own way. And it's always going to be God's will, not our will. But I'm telling you, you don't know how that person's relationship was with the Father. Sometimes God takes people for a reason because he needs them more up there than down here. But all because we think somebody is living right or is in the right spot with God may not necessarily always be the case. So that's why you have to get it right for yourself. Stop focusing on somebody else's salvation and focus on yours. Because you do not want to be the one. You say, well, Lord, if you just give me one more time or if I had a little bit more time, you do not want to be the one when everybody else get raptured up and you're still down here trying to figure out what's going on. Get salvation for yourself. Get right for yourself. Only thing else you can do for the ones that you love and your friends, your pastors, especially if they're not in line with God, is to pray for them. Don't risk your salvation trying to save somebody else. Because both of y'all don't need to be in hell. Get your salvation for yourself. Let them see God work in you so that they can get it right for themselves. But don't sacrifice yourself trying to save somebody else. It's not going to be worth it. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, the word just confirmed what I said again. We have to make sure that we're putting in that work and that we're watching. Number five, work. Work on the things that God has outlined you to do first. And let me give you some text behind that. Oh, where is it at? So we're going to be 1 Corinthians 15 and 46. Howbeit that it's not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such as they also that are earthy, and as in the heavenly, such are they that also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So the word tells you right there, everybody is not going to inherit the kingdom because they're going to be too consumed in the flesh and blood. They can't see beyond the natural. They're more concerned with the advances on earth and not thinking about their internal home. So where do you want your internal home to be? Do you want to be with everybody's favorite buddy, Satan, in the fiery pits of hell, continually getting tormented, continual pain, continual sorrow? Or do you want to have a mansion up high with our Father, living in glory, peace, and happiness, and joy, continual praise and worship? So you have to do some work. Let's go back to the weight loss. And this is going to tie in the text with that analogy. Okay, so you got a little weight on you. So let's say the weight represents the sins of the world. And you got a lot of it, too. You real obese in the world. Got so much going on. So you're trying to figure out, you've been going to church and you've been going, a friend invited you to church, and you're trying to figure out, okay, why is this person so happy? Why they look so small and thin and healthy? You get saved. Now you're trying to get right. Now you still got all this extra weight. Even though you've been baptized and given your life to Christ, you got all this extra weight, so you're trying to think, okay, now I still want to be like my sister here or my brother here that's looking fit, slim, and healthy and happy all the time. Now I need to get rid of this extra weight. So you figure, I'm going to get my tithes, and I'm going to do all this for the church, and this should be a quick fix to get to get this heaviness off of me. If I don't do that, if I just give some money to the homeless people every day, then this should, or feed them every day, I should be good. And, well, if I can't do that, well, maybe if I just be nice to everybody. And so, okay, so it's just like the people that, you know, they get the surgery and they get the quick fix. Now they got the look, but they're empty inside because they didn't go through anything to achieve that other than spend a couple of $1,000 and a couple of hours in the hospital. The way God wants you to achieve that is through some work, getting on the spiritual treadmill, running on a spiritual trail, lifting some spiritual weights to get yourself strong, and to achieve that thing that you see your brother and sister with. Because even if you get the quick fix, you might have the look, but your shell is so hollow in the inside, you have no strength. So what happens when you don't have no strength, so as soon as temptation comes, guess what? You're going to fall because you don't got no foundation. You don't got no sword. You don't got no shield. You don't got no breastplate. You don't got no helmet of salvation. You have nothing because you want the quick fix, right? You want it quick and easy like a Hot Pocket. You want it done in 2.5 minutes. You want to be full within 3 minutes after you eat that Hot Pocket. No, sir, no, ma'am. You have to put in some work. So what God's expectation is for each and every one of us, we got to get into the trenches because it is warfare. We have to go through some things. We have to be built up because how can you have a testimony without any test? How can you sit here and minister to somebody about an addiction, about a struggle, if you've never been through anything? Well, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. You know, God has blessed me, and I've never been through anything, and I'm just happy, and I, you know, the goodness of the Lord is, you know, it's giving me strength. Okay, amen, brothers and sisters. But give me an example of what you went through that might potentially help me to get out of my situation. We might not necessarily been through the same thing, but what struggles, what pain, what circumstances did you have to deal with in order to get where you are today? Not being spoon-fed with the silver spoon, and life is easy. Now, if God has blessed you in that particular situation, God bless you. Amen. But that's not the majority of the world. Everybody has a struggle. Everybody's dealing with something. So in order to get that worldly weight off of you, you got to put some work in. You're going to have to put some work in. And sometimes it has to be daily. You know, the first couple of weeks might be tough. The first couple of months might be tough. The first year might be tough. And you said, okay, God, I'm going to give up. I can't do this. You know, my body can't handle this. My heart hurts. My head hurts. My body's sore. Everything's, oh, I'm so tired. It's so tough. And my muscles haven't been worked like this in a while. And my heart's beating so fast. And my lungs are burning. Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. But you get through that first couple of months or a year, and you start seeing the changes in your body. You start feeling different. You're so in the Word now that, you know, you're able to the Word is able to guide you, and you're able to speak better, pray better, give a word of encouragement. You know how to look after people, pray for your brothers and sisters. So now you're going through, you're putting up the work, you done shed a couple of pounds, you done been able to loosen up some of the notches in your belt. You're able to go to that store that you weren't able to go to before and buy that nice outfit, and it's fitting all nice and right. You're looking in the mirror, and you're doing the the little pose like Jared from the Subway commercial. But like, wow, look at all this space. Look at all this space. Look where I've came from. Look how much I have achieved. Look how much I've overcame all these obstacles and tests, and people said I wasn't going to make it. I was going to fail, and how the enemy kept whispering in my ear saying that I was nobody, I was nothing. But look at me now. I put in the work and trusted God, and now I feel good. I feel great now. You just like your brother and sister that you saw a year earlier. You just been shaped just like they are spiritually. You're spiritually strong. You're spiritually able. You're still going to have temptations. You're still going to have things arise, but now you have the power to deal with it. Now you have the strength to overcome all those hard situations. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you tonight, we cannot do anything in this world, this life, without God, without Jesus. So many of us think that we can just, you know, like that Kurt Frank said, we can just go through life like a road trip. But you can't go through life with a heavy rucksack, backpack. You have to travel light. You can't have all these extra things on you if you want God to use you. How can you sit here and, if you're a minister especially, preach to someone dealing with alcoholism with just the night before you was turned up in the club, throwing up in the toilets? How can you sit here and preach to someone about sexual diversions when you sleep on every Tom, Dick, and Harry? How can you sit here and minister to another person about drugs when you still smoking weed on the down low? How can you minister to somebody, homosexual or lesbian situations and dealings, when you still dipping and diving? Folks, we have to be in a place with God to where we are following His word and His way, and that we are being careful. Because it's not good to make a mockery of God and make Him a joke. Because people are watching you. People are always watching. Even if you don't think they're watching, baby, I'm here to tell you they're watching. They're watching everything you do. They're watching what you post on Facebook. They're watching what you like on Facebook. They're watching what you do at work. They're listening to the conversations that you're having. They're looking at the way you're dressing. They're looking at the friends that you hang out with. You might say, well, who I hang out with don't matter. Yes, it does. Because you are who your company is. And I'd rather be in the company of Jesus Christ. So anybody that sees me, they say, hey, that's a man of God. Versus, oh, he a liar. He a hypocrite. You know what he did yesterday? Or you know the type of people he hanging right around with? Or you know the people that's on his Facebook page? Or the conversation that he was having yesterday with this other group of people? Please do not make God a liar. Please do not make God a liar. So now you physically fit in the spirit, and now you're experiencing the change tempo, and you're seeing the benefits of the hard work that you did. Now, to go back to the other individual that, you know, they had the quick fix, right? You see them a year later, and they are struggling. They look bad. They didn't gain the weight back. And you walk up to them, hey brother, hey, sister, what happened? You was doing so good. You had got that surgery and lost all that weight. And what happened? You know, is everything okay? Oh, brother, so I'm just going through. I thought that bypass would keep me small. I thought that surgery would fix it. But you know, I think I ate a little bit too much, and I was still doing the things I used to do, and I wasn't working out, and I just thought that once I got that surgery, that I would be okay. Brother says, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, you know, I work out every day, and, you know, I changed up my lifestyle, and that's some things that have helped me. And I have a support system to make sure that I'm staying on the right path. So you have to make sure. Lifestyle changes are very important. People think, oh, I lose a little bit of weight, then I'm good. No, you have to continue. It's a never-ending process. It's a never-ending process. So some roadblocks that we may come up against, some of us, because we're prideful, we like the sound of our own voices versus God's voice, and we decide to do our own thing after we start getting some things and experience some things, so we start living by our own will. We forget that he is the author and the finisher of our very lives. Your life has to line up with the word given. If you are not in line with what you are giving, it can become very venomous and dangerous. So that's why it's important that you are rooted and grounded in the word, because especially the people that look up to you or trust you or listen to you, and you're giving them bad counsel, their blood will be on your hands if something happens, because you're not in line with God. You have to know who you are in order to do what you know you have to do and who he is. You have to be audible and speak things into existence and call out your situation. In order to reach your purpose, you must first be broken. So that takes you back to the very beginning. When you're spiritually when you're naturally overweight in the spirit realm, you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. Are you going to change up your lifestyle in order to get healthy, in order to obtain true salvation and to live in the will of God? Or are you going to have a quick fix because it's easier? It doesn't hurt as much. You don't have to go through nothing. This is the decision tonight that you have to make. What are you going to do? You want the quick fix, plastic surgery, the gastric bypass, the pills, the magic formula that's non-existent, or are you going to work and earn and maintain your place in God and allow him to be the author and the finisher of your life? And not your own will, and not your own mentality, and not your own goals. Brothers and sisters, God has so much in store for you, but he just wants you to put in the work. He wants you to give yourself away, just like the song by our brother, William Murphy. I give myself away so that you can use me, God. It's not about me anymore, God. It's never been about me, Father God. But I give myself away so that you can use me. I know there's someone out there right now listening in that's in just a dark place and that's dealing with some things in their home, with their spouse and kids, and you just don't know how to get out of it, what to do, who to talk to, how to pray. But I'm here to tell you, God hears you. He hears your cry. But he's needing you to work. He's needing you to reach out to him. He needs you to seek his word. He needs you to get on your knees and pray like you never prayed before. Well, brother, I don't know what to say. Talk to God just like you talk to anybody else. Be real with him. Be real with God. Let him know what your issues are. He already knows. But speak to God like you've never spoken to God before. Repent. Repent. Because of some things that you're doing to egg on the situation. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Ask God to change your heart and to change your mouth so it won't continue to cause division. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. No one's perfect. No one person is perfect. The only perfect person that's ever lived was Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, God is so amazing. He can transform your temple in such a way that you never believe. But he's asking you, but how are you going to allow me to do that? You have to combat the roadblocks. You have to give up some things. You can't continue to indulge in certain things and think that God is going to bless you or God's going to bring you out of something. You have to make a strong decision this very moment. God, I choose you. I give up. I don't want to be this way no more. I don't want to live like this no more. I don't want to experience the things that I'm experiencing right now, Father God. I give up. I totally surrender myself and submit myself to you, God, so that you may get the glory out of my life. Trust God. Love God. Get to know God. Reestablish a relationship. Even if you've fallen off the path, don't think that because you've fallen off the path that you can't get it back right. You can. I'm telling you, you can. And God is just waiting. He's waiting for his people to come back home and to get it right. Don't think the devil is putting that in your mind that you cannot go back to God, that you messed up too much, that you've fallen too many times, and just to give up. God is still forgiving. He's still a God of mercy. He'll put it back in the sea of forgetfulness. But don't make God a fool where you're bringing the situation back out of the sea of forgetfulness. Once God has forgiven you and cast it down, don't make a fool of him and make a mark of him and where he said, look, God, you're reaching back down to get it. Don't put God in that situation. Because every time you make that same mistake after you ask God for forgiveness and you repent and you make that same mistake, you may not come out of that mistake the next time. Don't play Russian roulette with your life. Do not play Russian roulette with your life. You're thinking, well, if I do it one more time, I'll be okay. But that might be the very, very last time. At this time, I'm going to open the floor for elaboration. Do I have Tia or Mother Blackwell on the line? Mother Blackwell, are you there? Sister Tia, are you there? Okay, they may be having some technical difficulties, but I just want to take the time to just extend up a prayer for the, once again, for the Kenyan families and for the families in Paris, and for everyone that has lost a loved one due to violence. For everyone that's lost a loved one due to unforeseen circumstances, car accidents, drunk drivers, plane crashes, cop on cop crime, cop on civilian crime, family murders. It's very important that we are staying in the will of God. You never know when your time is near. It disheartens me to see, it disheartens to see innocent people die, especially children, because of what we as a world and a nation refuse to do. We've put God on the back burner so much that things are being allowed to happen because we're not getting it right. Jesus. Father God. Yeah, let the song play. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give myself away. I'm telling y'all, we have to get it right. We're in a season where God is taking his hand off of us. We're in a time where if we're not in line with what he wants us to do, then we're going to see many more tragedies, because God is, he's cleaning up. He's cleaning up house. He's cleaning up house. He's did it before. It's in the word. The great flood, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have to get it right. We have to get it right. How many more innocent lives have to be taken because of our negligence, of our ignorance? We're allowing all these things, passing all these laws that are going against the very word of God, that's going against the very essence of God. We even have in our Constitution said that under God we trust, but we no longer trust the God that we say we were founded under. We trust the God of money. We trust the God of politics. We trust the God of entertainment. We trust the God of sexual perversion. We trust the God of all forms of immorality in this nation. And we wonder why. We wonder why God is taking us out left and right. He said, what about me? What about me? Why have you forsaken me? After all I have done for you, you have forsaken me. You have put me on the back burner. Where is the love that I showed you way back on Calvary? Where is the grace and the mercy that I showed you? Where is it? Why am I being punished? Why am I not in your thoughts? Why am I not in your schools? Why am I not in your job? Even worse, why am I not even in your very churches? Why have I been forsaken? So because you have forsaken me, I'm taking my hand off this nation. So you're going to see more murders. You're going to see more killings. You're going to see more sicknesses. You're going to see more oppression. You're going to see more depression. Because America, you are not taking heed. You have forgotten about me. You are allowing immoral things to happen in the country that you said was founded because of me. So until America, the nation, gets it right, you will see more and more and more and more. You will see more pastors being exposed for what they really are. You will see more innocents being taken because of the laws that you pass. You have to get it right. You have to get it right. It just hurts me. It hurts me, and sometimes it's a loss of words. It's a loss of words that my heart just cries out. My heart cries out. And I pray for this nation. I pray for the president. I pray for all the leaders. But we have to make sure that we are giving God his due, that we're not forsaking him. So I charge everybody tonight to pray for the nation of America, that we will turn from our wicked ways and put God back in the forefront of everything that we do and everything that we are. We are a nation of many. Just like Galilee, we are a nation of many. We're not just one race of people or one type of people or one social group of people. We are a melting pot of the world. We have to come together and unify ourselves and put God back in the place where he belongs. We don't even say bless you anymore when somebody sneezes. We say Gesundheit. We have to get it right, brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to get it right. We have to be the beacon of light in this dark, dark place. We have to show the example. We have to show the example. We have to be the example. And we have to trust God. We have to trust God. We have to say, Lord, I give myself away. I know I may not have been where you want me to be, God. I know I may have failed. I know I may have lied. I know I may have cheated. I know I may have sinned so many times, Father God, after asking for forgiveness. But, Father God, I come before you right now, Father God, with my whole heart, not with half a heart, not with half a mind, not with half a body, with my whole heart, mind, body, and soul, Father God, asking that you just take me, Father God, and make me who you want me to be. Make me the man of God that you want me to be. Make me the woman of God that you want me to be, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, because it's not about me anymore, God. It's never been about me. And I just want you to have your way, God. Have your way, God, in my life. Because I'm tired, Father God. I'm tired. I'm tired of every time I turn on the news, God, somebody's dying, Father God. Somebody's child has been taken. Somebody's child has been killed. So a group of people have been killed, Father God. I'm tired. What can I do to be right, God? What can I do? And he hears you. God hears you. Just take this time. Lift your hands wherever you are, whether in your car, in your house, on your job. Just lift your hands. And say, God, I give myself away. God, I deny myself and ask you to fill me up, Father God. Fill me up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I can't do it without you, God. I never could. I don't know why I tried, but Father, I can't. I've suffered because of it, Father God. I ask that you just have your way, God. Have your way in me right now. Right now, Father God. Right now, Father God. Have your way, Father God. Remove anything that's not like you. Right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Take it out of me. Right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way. Have your way, God. Because you're awesome and you're worthy, Father God. For I am a sinner, Father God, and I do fall short on a daily basis, Father God. But, Lord, I'm just trying to make it to 99 and a half, Father God. Trying to make 100. Trying to get closer to you, Father God. Trying to be more like your son, Jesus. Father God, I repent. I repent, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And as I repent, Father God, I ask that you just start having those things fall off of me right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Send down your war angels on my behalf, Father God, to help me fight these battles, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, let me be the co-pilot and you take over right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I've tried to be my own person for too long, Father God. Have your way right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, I don't want to be this way anymore. Jesus, 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 thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody's feeling it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, God. We bless your name, God. You're so worthy. You're so awesome, Father God. We thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Father God. Every day that we wake up, we're in our right minds. We're in our right spirits, Father God. We have air in our lungs, Father God. We're able to see and to hear, Father God. We have food on the table, clothes on our backs, Father God, a roof over our heads. Father God, we thank you. All I want is you. All I want is you. Just sing that little bit. All I want is you. Come on. All I want is you. All I want is you, Jesus. All I want is you, Lord. All I want is you.
We live in a nation that seems to want to turn its back on God.
Whatever that you may be going through, say all I want. All I want is you.
I'm not after the blessings, I'm not after the things, I'm after.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, God. All I want. All I want is you.
When you get God, you get
despite what the bills say, despite what your employer says, say all I want. All I want is you. Despite what the doctors may say in your situation, say all I want is you. Hallelujah, Jesus. For your worthy God, all I want is you. I give myself away, cause all I want is you. All I want is you. Every hour I need you, Jesus. Every day I need you, Lord. All I want is you. We give ourselves away to you, Jesus. We give ourselves away, cause all I want is you. All we want is you. All we want is you, Jesus. You're so worthy, God. You're so worthy, God. Hallelujah. You're so worthy, God. All we want is you, Jesus. All we want is you, Jesus. Have your way, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're so worthy, God. Bless your name, Jesus. Some yokes are going to be broken on tonight. Some lives are going to be saved on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, we thank you, God. We thank you right now, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sweet, sweet Jesus. Withholding nothing. You can't, the word, the song is telling you, you can't hold. You can't hold back. Withholding nothing, nothing, nothing. You have to let it all go right now, right now, right now, right now. Let it go. Withhold nothing. Withholding nothing, Jesus. Withholding nothing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give yourself away. You got to surrender it all. You can't hold on to any of it. Let God fix it. For his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. But you can't experience that if you hold on. Let the pain of your past go. Let the pain of your husband cheating on you go. Let the pain of that abortion go. Let the pain of that miscarriage go. Let the pain of you losing your job go. Jesus, let it go. Let them have it all. Let them have it all. There's some hurt people out there in Radio Land tonight. Let them have it all. Let them have it all. He knows your pain. He knows, Jesus. And to the individual that lost their child last year, let it go. In the name of Jesus, give it to God. Let him fill that empty space. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. You're worthy. You're so worthy, God. Withholding nothing. Thank you, Jesus. You got to surrender it all and withhold nothing. Hallelujah. For Radio Land, thank you so much for joining with us on this evening with the City Without Walls Ministries. Once again, where our pastor is Prophetess Latasha Easterling. We're on every Saturday, 7 p.m. Central Time. And if you are not able to listen on the radio cast live, you can always go to our to the website. And I'm going to give you the website here. Jesus, thank you, God. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio, and I'll spell that, blogtalkradio.com/SSM Radio. And as many men and women of God that have broadcasts, you can just click on the link and listen in. But just look for the City Without Walls Ministries, and you'll see Prophetess Latasha Easterling on there. Click on the link. So if you wasn't able to listen live or you want somebody else to listen to the message, click on that link, and you'll be able to listen to all the messages that we've had thus far. But we will be back on Saturday, where Prophetess will be bringing forth the word at 7 p.m. Central Time. We thank Apostle Randy for allowing us to be on the air once again on this evening. We love you. God bless, and be supersonic blessed throughout the rest of your week. We love you, and goodbye.
Withholding nothing.